Private Deals. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So, how's a deal private? What does that mean?
Well, I think any deal where you've got a target that's not subject to Exchange Act reporting obligations is potentially a private deal. If you've got two of them, then it certainly is. But there are all sorts of degrees of being private. It's possible that a non-reporting company might have hundreds of shareholders, and in deals like that, the deal documentation and process may look an awful lot more like a public deal than a private one. You can also have a private deal involving public companies. If a public company sells a sub or a division to another buyer, the documentation is going to look like any other private company stock purchase or asset purchase.
And how common are private deals compared to a public company being involved in a deal?
There are lots more of them. Many M&A lawyers spend most of their careers buying and selling private companies, particularly here in the Midwest. Not a huge supply of public companies in Midwestern cities, and so a lot of my colleagues do primarily private company M&A. Don't see all that many public company deals. Remember, there are only a few thousand public companies, but actually in preparing for this, I looked at census data, and the census, believe it or not, says that there are more than 6 million private companies in the United States. So you do the math as to the number of private versus public deals.
Yeah, I think we're down to roughly 5,500 or so public companies, or I guess it depends.
Yeah, they're definitely an endangered species.
Somewhere there, and that's about half of what it was over a decade ago. And how does a private deal, what are factors or circumstances that are different, features that are different from a private deal from a public company acquisition?
Well, there's a lot more to negotiate typically. In public deals, you've got your chances are real good you're doing a merger. The reps and warranties are going to go away at closing. There's no recourse for the buyer. It's just you're buying the company and getting on with life. There's a lot more focus on protecting yourself in a private company deal because there is the ability to go back and make indemnity claims, et cetera. So most private deals are going to have indemnity provisions that are going to require sellers to indemnify buyers for a period of time. They breach reps and warranties, or in an asset deal, they'd also be with respect to any kind of retained assets or liabilities. They're going to indemnify folks for those. Private company deal structures, again, I said the public company world, they're almost uniformly mergers, but private company deal structures are limited only by your imagination. You can have a lot of ancillary agreements in private deals to address property that perhaps isn't being owned by the company, but by its shareholders. It's very common to have related party leases, et cetera, that you've got to sort of sort out. If you're only buying part of the business, you may negotiate transition services agreements or some other agreements relating to shared assets, shared facilities. The psychological component negotiating a private company deal can also be very different, particularly if you're buying a family business. Negotiations over issues that wouldn't even be on the radar screen in public deals, like, gee, I want to still have access to the company plane or to a country club membership that I have had for years and the company's been paying for, that can all be on the table as well. So there's a lot more stuff that can get negotiated or is typically on the table for potential negotiation and needs to be addressed in a private company deal. It's not saying there's not an awful lot to do in a public company deal as well, but I think the fact that you have a lot of stuff surviving and potential exposure from the sellers to post-closing claims, there's just an awful lot more to work out.
And since there are this kind of deals more common than the private than a public company deal, junior lawyers are more likely to be cutting their teeth on private deals.
It depends. I think that you're still going to be, if they're small, sure. I mean, that's the ideal thing is if you have a smaller company and a relatively straightforward transaction, you love to be able to throw junior lawyers at that. But these can be pretty complicated transactions as well. There may be tax issues. There all sorts of elaborate structuring can go on in a tax-driven type of situation. And with private companies and private owners, taxes are sometimes a very, very important part of the transaction process. So structuring can be pretty elaborate. There can be, just because something is a private company doesn't mean it's simple. There may be all sorts of corporate law issues. There may be all sorts of other issues related to the way the company has run its business, and or issues that may be unique to the circumstances of a particular buyer that can make them very, very complicated transactions. Just because the SEC isn't involved doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be layups.
What type of due diligence is there in private deals?
Well, I think one of the things to bear in mind when you're doing private company due diligence is there is a discipline that being a reporting company with the SEC imposes on most companies. People are very concerned about internal control over financial reporting and disclosure control and procedures. So there is an infrastructure that, generally speaking, makes due diligence of a public company a little bit easier to get your arms around than a private company. Most public companies, even smaller ones, did extensive corporate cleanup at the time they went public, and that provided them with a good organizational base to move forward from in terms of corporate record keeping and crossing the T's and dotting the I's on compliance issues, although that certainly isn't always the case, and with smaller public companies, you may find yourself in the same type of situation that you might find with a typical private company. So due diligence of private companies tends to be a little bit tougher, and it takes longer to get to the bottom of things because often there hasn't been that attention to compliance and organization, et cetera, and infrastructure that you see at most public companies.
And how does the timing of a deal happen compared to a public company? Is it do private deals go faster or? Is
well,
not
I mean,
as much urgency?
I think there's always urgency. The one thing I will say about a private company deal is, you can never go from signing to closing on a public company deal in a week. You can sometimes do that on a small private company deal, or even a larger one if you've got the ability to do a majority written consent type of a procedure, and you can thread the needle on Hart-Scott. But it can also take an awful lot of time. As I said, the SEC isn't the only regulator that's out there and that may make things more complicated. These deals, you can have all sorts of consent requirements. You may have Hart-Scott. You may have other regulatory requirements that have to be dealt with. So theoretically, a small private company deal might be able to be done very, very quickly. But the bigger they get, the more complicated they get. And I will also tell you that the longest deal I ever worked on was a very small private company deal. Sometimes it takes a long time to get things moving, and companies don't necessarily have the resources to move as fast as everybody perhaps would want to.
Great stuff. Thanks.
You're welcome.